Meeting to order. Paul, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have a motion for approval of the February 3rd meeting minutes?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Kathy, good morning. Good morning.
So the first item I have is, as we continue to learn more about our child advocacy center and we're partnering more with Allegheny County, they have secured a medical director for their facility that's interested in also coming to us to oversee our child advocacy center. He is a retired pediatrician. He oversees Erie, Niagara, and Genesee County. He is fabulous. He's met with us on multiple occasions talking about our planning and development. And so I would like to contract with him for our medical director services. His retainer is $24,000 a year, $2,000 a month. He will provide the consultation services, attend our team meetings, and supervise all the same nurses when they come to do a medical exam. And last year we had a contract through Arnett, which, as you recall, COVID hit like a few days later. And we really never utilized a medical director last year because we were still, in flux. So,
thank you. Thanks, I think. So, does anybody have any questions?
What did we pay Arnett last year?
The same. Sorry. Well, it was $25,000 actually.
Kathy, are the other counties aligned similar to our program?
Yes, they've actually opened their doors for us to come up and meet with them. They've also, we're having a meeting next week with Batavia because we have the ability to bill for the medical services when the same nurses conduct the medical exams. So we're moving along. We're finding more pots of money to sustain the program going forward.
We have a motion.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
So this,
sorry, I need this resolution a little sooner.
So I'm here to request, I was going to put my mask on because I was going to hand out papers. Sorry. So I've been in contact with the superintendent of Hornell School District, who, as you might expect, the educational neglect cases have soared since COVID because oftentimes kids aren't engaging in the remote learning. They're not attending school. It's a population that's been difficult to address during COVID, but it's also a bigger problem outside of just school. There's a lot of families in the Hornell area that really could benefit from preventive services through our department. So it's going out and really kind of preventing them from coming into the system in other ways through child protective, foster care, things of that nature. Years ago, we did do, we had a contract for preventive services. Oh my gosh, I can't remember how many years ago, but we did it for a few years and then Hornell opted out to continue that program. So new superintendent. He has experience with this in Livingston County when he was a superintendent there. Reached out to me, asked if we would be interested in partnering again, and they would fund the balance of a preventive services caseworker to work out of their school district. And so I would propose that we go forward with that. I think it would be a huge benefit to that end of the county. Put together the costs, including salary, fringe, and some general operating. And so they would, the way that the reimbursement works under our preventive services with the state is the school district has to accept, has to donate funds towards preventive services. And that's why it's reading as a donated in-kind revenue. And then the other portion of the revenue is coming from the state. So there's zero local costs. I would have to fund a zero-based caseworker position to move forward with this. And then I would adjust our capital project to include a computer or equipment, not capital project, equipment line.
Sounds like a worthy cause. Are there any questions? Oh, Jen.
This is one that's reached out.
The same problem the rest of the county?
There is a lot of educational neglect cases coming in.
So how do we address that?
Well, I think we start here and I think that one, I don't have the positions really to sustain that across the entire county. And I think they reached out to me. They're willing to pay for it. So I'd like to start there and see how it goes. And
okay, we have a motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. The next resolution I have is to accept some additional DSERP funds, $86,628. I think you all got that resolution ahead of time. And that is going to go into our capital project under DSERP's delivery system reform incentive program. That's a mouthful. And that will build upon the funds that were going to hopefully develop a homeless services project with. This is based on previous year's performance.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Is your homeless numbers up?
Yeah, they are up even over last year. And they were up over the previous year. I had, so in, it was a 22% increase. We had almost $176,000 for the month of February in homeless costs.
These are rental units that we rent. Motels.
Hotel, mostly boarding homes.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Kathy? Kelly?
Given the fact that people can't be evicted, do you have any other explanation for why our homeless numbers would be up so much?
Just the economy, Kelly. Code Blue always drives our numbers up because, to be frank, people know that they can get housing when it gets below 32 degrees.
So there would be no idea where people are staying other than that, because realistically, I mean, you cannot kick somebody out. So to me, that statistic doesn't make any sense. Do you know what I mean? I just have a hard time grasping it. If you can't be removed from your apartment or wherever you're at, it doesn't make any sense to me that the numbers would be going up. And we measure it basically on the dollars that we spend?
No, we track the people, and I did not bring.
Okay.
I didn't bring that with me. I don't know.
Do you have that with you?
No, it's okay. I just, to me, the numbers don't make sense. It doesn't make sense that if you cannot be removed through the normal eviction process, it doesn't make sense that then our homeless numbers are up so substantially.
John?
I had a couple clients that have rental properties in Cornell. Because they cannot be evicted, they're losing rent payments and are getting further behind. I thought part of the COVID bill was to help these landlords. Is that something that would go through social services?
That is not coming through social services, that portion.
So where would that?
You know, John, I got some information I can send you on an email if you'd like. I can't remember. It was a couple of months ago that bill came out, but I can send that to you. But that's not something that we'll manage. The districts are really lobbying to have some kind of funding source to help the landlords when this opens up and evictions. The moratorium lasts through May.
I'm sorry to interrupt again. I know that the court system sent out an email that said if there are evictions that were started prior to COVID, those can move forward now.
That's true.
And then the other thing is that some of the programs for rent assistance during COVID are contingent upon if you're not in immediate danger of being evicted, then you don't qualify for the funds. So because of the moratorium, there are funds out there for rent, but you don't qualify for it because the landlord can't evict you.
Okay.
You all know my husband has rental property, so that's how I know.
So Kelly, that's a familiar story that how the state operates in many of our programs.
It's very so, frustrating. I mean, yeah, you want to take your head and hit it on the desk and say, where does this make any sense? Yeah. They're putting out releases that, yes, we're putting out assistance for rent. We're doing all these things. But in reality, they're putting contingencies on it that make it impossible for that money to be spent. So it's extremely frustrating.
Kathy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Patty, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. As you know, we're really struggling to spend our home care dollars, particularly during COVID, and we're coming to the end of the budget cycle, and we have money left over that we would lose if we didn't spend. And because of the COVID pandemic, we're given latitude to spend the home care dollars in any way that's needed, which is really good news for our programs. So today I'm bringing you three items for increasing contracts. We're moving the money to be spent in the areas where we think are most needed. And of course, nutrition since the beginning of the pandemic has been really the high priority service. And prior to the pandemic, it's been typically underfunded. So this is a great opportunity to move that money and not lose it. So we're asking to increase the ProAction C1, C2 contract $70,000. I don't know if you can vote on these all together, but I'll just tell you what the gist of it is. Corning Meals, you recall, they just get the meal reimbursement amount since we took over the assessments. So they just get the reimbursement rate, but we're going to give them an extra $10,000 for the added cost that they've had through the pandemic of having more emergency meals in case the kitchen shut down, any of their needs because of the pandemic. And the third one is the Faith in Action out of Hornell, which is the volunteer program. They've done a lot of transportation. They do a lot of other volunteer projects. So we'd like to boost them $10,000 as well. And the last piece of that, this isn't an increase in the contract, but it is an opportunity to have the funds to pay for additional equipment that we need to allow us to be more flexible to deliver service. So we have lots of loaner laptops from IT that we'd like to purchase so that we don't ultimately have to give them back to IT.
We have a motion.
Can you do them separately because they're separate line items?
Okay.
We can't.
So the increase for ProAction C1 and C2 contracts, $70,000. Do we have a motion?
I'll move.
Second.
These are items that we can't carry this money over, right?
You cannot. Okay. State money cannot be carried over.
Gotcha.
Ken?
So this is a one-time situation. They know that this is not coming every year.
I had that discussion. Yes.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Increase in Corning Meals on Wheels, $10,000.
Make that motion.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Faith in Action, $10,000.
I'll move it. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Amend AIM contract.
Right. So we received word from AIM that they're increasing their rate from $15.24 an hour. That's the consumer directed program for home care. And it's going to $18.52 an hour. I know that's a big jump, but a few years ago, they removed the restriction that said that we had to stay under the Medicaid rate for the ISIP home care, which made it difficult to fill cases for ISIP because they could get a higher rate from Medicaid. So that restriction was removed a few years ago, so it is within their authority to raise it. Typically we have trouble spending the home care dollars, so the contract amount will remain the same. We'll just buy less service, but we've been struggling to spend the money anyway.
So moved.
I'll second it. How much of an increase is it?
21.5%.
Is there any other options?
There are other fiscal intermediaries out that are available. I think their rates are probably similar. It would require putting it out for bid.
Is that something we want to consider doing? Or?
Gary, you have a question?
Another subject.
Oh, okay. We have a motion. We have in a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. I'd like to put it out to bid just to see if it's worth pursuing that direction.
But when does that contract run out?
It's an April 1st contract, so it's
so
just...
we really don't have time to put it out for bid this year.
Right, right. But it takes time to put it out for bid.
Right. I'm outvoted anyway.
You're out.
John?
I'm not opposed to putting it out.
The contract remains the same dollar amount sitting out there, so you're not spending any more money. I disagree with 21%, but the thing of it is, as long as the contract isn't increasing, I don't see a problem.
Yeah, we're just buying 21% less work.
Right, which we have been having trouble spending anyway. So at the end of this contract, we might end up in the same situation that we're in with the others, that there's money there and we don't want to lose it, so we move it.
I guess I'm just thinking about the bigger picture, you know, money that not needed to be spent, even if it is state money. But that's where I was coming from. But I understand what you guys are saying, so.
Thank you, Patty.
Question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gary.
For the aged, how do they get on the list to get a shot, especially if they don't have a computer or something like that? Do you have information through your office?
That is the question of the hour. So just starting this week, we've had a waiting list for a couple weeks anyway. Now we're working with public health where the vaccine clinics, that's on very short notice. And we go onto our waiting list and we call people and we enroll them. A lot of seniors that don't have computers, so we help enroll them right in real time.
Well, would it be advantageous to somehow get that number in the newspaper?
What they do is they, like yesterday, they gave us 200 slots and we worked all day filling the slots. And by 4 o'clock, when it looked like we weren't going to fill all the slots, they turn it out to the public. And then those slots are gone really quickly.
And so Gary, if I could, both, all Patty, Darlene, and I have been doing media outreach as well to try to get it in those non-traditional non-internet-based news. So actually, Neil Simon did an article, talked to him yesterday, so that should be in the Tribune today or tomorrow with the numbers. And, you know, we're really pressing to get that out to as many folks as we possibly can. And Patty and her staff have done a great job assisting us trying to scramble because, again, those 200 doses, they arrived yesterday. And so by probably 10 o'clock, 10:30 is when we said, okay, now we have the doses. Now we have to fill them up. And Patty already had a waiting list. So she was able to chip away at that, but it was a scramble. So, and unfortunately this is sort of what we're going to be dealing with, you know, hopefully some more lead time. We have a good idea that I emailed you all around about how many doses we're going to receive next week. So we have a little bit more time, but I guarantee you, we haven't talked to Patty yet this morning, but I'm sure her phones are ringing off the hook because the numbers are getting out there.
And we purposely do not send out pre-registration links and you know announce it anywhere until we actually have the vaccine in hand. Other counties have learned the hard way, especially when the snowstorms hit us a couple weeks in a row. They had clinics scheduled and announced it and had people registered, and then they had to you know go back and reach out to all of those hundreds of individuals to reschedule. So we have never gone that route. And even though it does cause us to scramble sometimes as far as the timing of the delivery of the vaccine, it just in the long run, I think it's less work and less stress on us to just wait until we actually have it in hand.
What vaccine do we get now?
Well, we're beginning to now get a mixture. Up until today, it's only been Moderna. As of tomorrow, we will be in receipt of a lot of Pfizer doses, and that's what we will use for the large clinic next week for 65 and over. It is strictly allocated for 65 and over, and that's great because that population has really been at a disadvantage.
Now, when they give us the Pfizer or the Moderna, do we know in 21 days or 28 days, whatever it is for that vaccine, do we know we're going to have that vaccine to cover that at that date?
Yes. I mean, yes. It has not been a problem so far. With all of the Moderna clinics we have held, we have always gotten the second dose in plenty of time. For a second dose clinic, and I would expect it to be the same with Pfizer.
Okay.
As well as Johnson & Johnson, we will be getting some of that later this week, I believe.
Okay. John, you have a question?
Yeah, as long as Jack and Darlene are on. Do we have a number as to the numbers of county employees that have been vaccinated at this point?
County employees? Not enough. We've essentially reached everyone in sheriff's office, corrections, probation, adult protective and child protective that have elected for it. Now there might be one or two that have changed their mind and we might need to make it available. But right now, those are the only departments that we have eligible. And public health has already, they were the first ones because they're running the vaccination clinics. But we can work on getting, you know, actual numbers, but generally speaking, those are the departments that are eligible right now. And I would say we've seen a pretty good take rate. I can't really estimate a number, but it's not 50% that some organizations have seen. We've seen a pretty good amount of takers.
Fred, can I make a comment?
Yes.
This is for Darlene and Jack and whoever's been running the clinics. I've been getting a lot of feedback about how well they're they're run, how well organized they are, and how smoothly everything goes. So that's kudos to you guys.
Thank you, Fred, very much. We appreciate that. You know, that was the frustrating part from the beginning is the fact that we drill this, we exercise this every year, and this is what public health does. But, you know, that was overlooked in initial rollout from the state. So I very much appreciate that feedback, Fred. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, and Darlene and Matthew and Kenny and Tim and everyone's just does a phenomenal job. It's a lot of work, a lot of long hours. Those folks are doing great. So thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, Dr. Chapman.
Morning.
Morning, sir. Got a resolution in regards to state aid funding for you to consider. Over the past year, to offset the fiscal deficits due to the pandemic, state division of budget imposed a 20% withhold on state aid funding that came in to support our local mental health, substance abuse, and developmental disability services. For year 2022, the proposed state budget recommends a permanent 5% cut, along with hundreds of millions of dollars in additional cuts to these same local funding that we need for mental health, substance abuse, and developmental disabilities. So this resolution was created by New York State Conference of Mental Hygiene Directors, along with the New York State Association of Counties. And what the resolution does is it requests that the governor restore the previously withheld state aid funding and also to commit fully to funding the local state aid as we move forward. So I recommend that we adopt this resolution and send it on to the governor's office as well as other state leaders that are listed in the bottom of the resolution.
I'll move it. Second.
Any questions?
Oh, I got a question. The 80% they are sending us, are they holding that up? Because I hear they're about broke up there. So are they paying that or are they messing with us?
That money has been coming in.
Has it?
We have been receiving it. The other, I'm optimistic that this is going to come to be because I have received word from the state offices that the 20% withholds will be coming, but we haven't seen it in a state aid letter yet. The 5% permanent cut, though, is something that I'm hoping that we could advocate against, and it won't happen. Because it's as you all know, it's been very challenging, to say the least. This not only has an impact on my department and programs, but it does all of our other local service providers that we contract with and provide prevention in the schools, programs, housing, other programs. So there's been layoffs, there's been vacant positions that haven't been filled as a result of the withhold. So we get this money back in and hopefully we'll be able to shore things up to how they were prior to the pandemic happening.
So prior to the pandemic to now, has your cases increased because of the pandemic or have it stayed stable?
We have seen some increases with overall cases. We've seen a lot more consistent with national data. We've had a lot of people present with depression, anxiety ever since this past spring, last winter, spring through the summer. We're seeing an increase in substance abuse issues as well.
A lot of that's attributed to the Biden administration.
I know the DA said he hates to see the stimulus money come because people have a tendency to use drugs, spend it all on drugs. And then they probably end up coming to see you.
Unfortunately, as you know, it is about choices. So unfortunately, in some instances, that does happen.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Great. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we go with to Jack or Chris Brewer, Vince, I think you had something.
Last year, the Public Works Committee approved a program to upgrade the licenses of our truck drivers and equipment operators, and it requires me getting the personnel officer's approval, Public Works Committee approval, and now your approval. We have one MEO, motor equipment operator, truck driver, that we want to upgrade from a Class B to a Class A, so he can be a backup operator for a chip seal machine. That's $1,500. We have two bridge workers. We require them to get a Class B within 2 years of hire so they can drive snow plows. That's $1,585 each. And then we have three mechanics that we want to get them a Class A so they can road test the vehicles that they're repairing. And that's $2,035 each.
This was passed in Public Works, correct?
Yes.
I'll move it. Second.
The only question I have is, of course, it's all in the budget, right?
Yes.
See, new hires, we won't pay for this because this is a new requirement we're putting on for people that already were hired.
Okay.
And then, like, in the repair shop, if you bring a tractor trailer in, you know, like, where we move equipment around with, mm-hmm. If nobody has a Class A, they can't take it out and test drive it.
Right. Yeah, I understand.
But,
any other questions?
Actually, the way the program's set up, if somebody was hired before we put these licensing requirements right. in place, then we would pay the tuition, the travel, and the time to take the course.
Gotcha.
That's the main thing about where we pay for everything. But there's some positions that, like the mechanics, require Class B 2 years after within hire. And we've set up the program that we will pay just the tuition on those.
Okay. Sounds good.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vince.
Thank you, Vince.
Jack, do you want to talk about the United Way contract or Chris?
Sure. Yep, I can do that. So thanks very much. And on your agenda is reauthorization of United Way contract that began last year. $20,000 was put in your budget for 2020 and 2021 to assist the United Way in to assist paying for the COMET program. Ms. Fitzpatrick contacted me yesterday and asked for some additional information from the United Way. So thank her for doing that. And then I sent that out last night. So some of you probably haven't been able to see that. But it's more of kind of an annual report and what's being done. Director Hughes reports that 424 children in Steuben County are being tracked through that. And that's primarily done through ProAction. And it's through tracking immunization services received, essentially the different building blocks that they've had and the services that they've been connected to kind of feed the larger picture about where those children are, where there are gaps in other areas, specifically for ProAction, since they are the service arm for many of these services. So a lot, there's about four PDFs there for you folks to review. This contract is budgeted, so it is a renewal of the contract that we're putting in front of you today.
Motion.
Second.
Any questions? Kelly?
I would like to see a little more information as to how many children is their goal to track with this program? And also, how long will it take us to actually see the benefits from this program. I think it's great. I think it's necessary. And be sure to pass along. Thank you very much for the information. Some of the reports don't mean a lot to me, but the narrative is very nice. But if there's 424 children enrolled, how many children are in Steuben County and how many children need to be enrolled? Let's put a little, maybe, I don't know if pressure is the right word, but pressure to follow more children and give them a goal of enrolling more people in it to track.
Okay, I will certainly do that follow-up, yes.
Jack, I have a question, Carol. This may have come up before, but is Chemung County contributing to this as well?
They are, but in a different way. They're not doing a straight contribution to help pay for this, but they actually have a partnership with the United Way where, unlike us, their county departments, and I believe it's social services, utilizes Comet. So they're sort of paying for it as an operational cost where we rely on ProAction to do some of these services here. Each county does those types of services differently. So long story short, Chemung County utilizes and pays for Comet, but not in this manner as a contribution to the United Way.
John?
Yeah, I guess my concern is that what areas of the county is this program serving? And can we get numbers based on districts? I'd like to see where the money is being spent.
Good point. Sure. Yep. I will ask that as well.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Opposed? Carried. Thank you, Jack. Under other business, we have the a request from Senator Jordan of the 43rd Senate District, and her goal is to get all counties in New York State to adopt this resolution so that they can have New York State designated as a Purple Heart State at the federal level as well. So this resolution is to honor members of the United States Armed Forces who have received the Purple Heart, and it will allow Steuben County to be recognized by New York State on a national website. Dan McRae is here from Veterans Services. If you have any questions, I'm sure he would be happy to help you. Do we have a motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second it. My question is, what does this do for the people that received the Purple Heart? Do they get any funding, or is this just, we recognize you got a Purple Heart?
Yeah, I think the Purple Heart can be given to people that
they're wounded. They're wounded.
Well, they're wounded, but they could have also died during service. So it's, you know, I don't think that's an option to give them.
I just was wondering, is it just a PR program, or?
I mean,
it's nice to recognize them. I'm not opposed to it, but I'm just wondering what it does for them.
John, you have a question?
Well, just a statement sitting out there. I know Livingston County, I think, is already designated as a Purple Heart County. I wonder if there's additional counties around us that have done this.
Her campaign, the senator's office reached out to me, and their campaign is to have every county in the state do it.
We don't know which counties around us are. I've already gone through this, I guess.
No.
Just for some information. I don't know if we can gather that.
I can look into it. I can just reach out to my counterparts and see who has done it.
Yeah. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. I think the only other thing, is there any other business? I just want to talk about goals again. Has anyone else thought of any other ideas for the goals? Do you want to talk about the ones that I proposed originally, or and pick one or two? Or do you want to come up with some other goals? Hello?
Ooh, you guys are a group. Slow down.
Why don't you read again?
Read the goals again.
Yeah.
Okay. The first one I had was leverage the public relations function of Steuben County, featuring one department bi-monthly to highlight the work that all that our six departments do for our constituents. And our six departments, of course, are Community Services, Department of Social Services, Office of the Aging, Public Health, Veteran Services, and Youth Bureau. The second one is utilize employees from other departments with expertise in specific areas to assist departments that don't have the personnel and are in need of support. The third one is by networking and collaborating with other counties, seek out assistance in updating and writing policies as needed in this ever-changing environment to keep policies and procedures current. I think we should stick to two. I did just have the three as options.
I think any goals that help us, you know, run more efficiently or save money is always a good thing to go towards. So maybe number two would be something that we could focus on. I'm trying to find them here again.
Sounds like it's a county manager's. I mean, I think he does that every day, right? They do it every day.
At your direction, I mean, certainly we work with the departments, and if there's a gap, I mean, we certainly address those things, but it's always good from a policy level for you folks to highlight important so we can, you know, double down on efforts or new ways to look at it. So it's kind of a mix. It's you folks setting your priorities for us and us running with them.
Okay, so am I hearing number two is one of them?
Okay.
Yeah. The other reason I picked the public relations, because we, you know, with this COVID, I don't think we've been doing a lot of PR for the county. And I just think that would be good if we could highlight some of the items that are going on in the different departments. But
how would we do that? How would we accomplish?
Oh, through Mary Parham, I would assume. Yep. You know, she's basically our public relations person.
Yep, we'd work with Mary to identify which departments when, and she could, you know, work with the department head to identify important information to get out and update, you know, highlight, like Carolyn, you have mentioned, you know, important services that, you know, some residents might not be aware of. So yeah, that's how we'd accomplish it.
That would be mainly the website?
It'd be through newspaper. Yep, sorry, Carol. It would be through social media, but also through formal press release. So like Carol said, newspaper, the television stations around here, radio stations pick a lot of those things up as well.
Carol, this is Hilda. Can I ask a question or make a statement?
Sure.
So this number one is pretty much a no-brainer. Come on, guys. You guys act like you haven't done anything yet on this. Come on. It's easy to measure, easy to facilitate. That's a no-brainer, I would say.
Thanks, Hilda.
You talking about legislators, no-brainers?
I didn't say that.
Yes. Okay, so what I'm hearing is we'll pick number one and number two. That's the public relations function for number one and utilizing employees from other departments that are as needed.
Sounds good.
Okay. We have a motion?
We have a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else that we need? All set? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Thank you.